But we're back now, you know, and I got lots to talk to you guys about on this program today. Last week, I'm sure maybe some of you guys, maybe, I know you guys are so interested in keeping up with my life, but I had, like, my birthday party, which was, like, super dope. Never hosted, like, a birthday party where, like, I invited 50 people, you know? Thank God it wasn't at my house, you know? Graciously, childhood friend Elijah lent us his house for the evening and let us party, which was super nice of him. Even stopped and did all the works, too. I was kind of, like, in the morning of my birthday party, I kind of definitely did procrastinate on some homework. So I was definitely like typing away at the last, like at the 11th hour, trying to get my assignment in so I could like go and party afterwards. And thanks to Eli like rearranged all the furniture. And he also kind of like balled out a little bit. I think he called in a favor. Eli's a grip in the film industry, called in a bit of a favor and got some like nice like LED lights in the venue. So it was great. Like I showed up and Eli had like a bunch of lights up and they're all colorful and I was like, oh man, this is gonna be really a party. And so went to the dollar store and balled out on some Minion related purse / decorations. We got some like streamers and some Minion balloons because my inner child is still obsessed with the Minions. And it was a great party. I was really nervous, like filling the space as anyone would be. I think it's like the, oh, but no one's gonna come to my birthday party. But it was dope. Everyone had a good time, finished at a reasonable, one of his roots was like amidst the party, like making his dinner, like from the whole duration of the party, he was like making his soup. So after everybody left, we had like a nice, like, hip. It was kind of sweet, you know? Yeah, it was such a great time. Eric, I'm mad at you that you couldn't be there, but I understand. Teehee. Anyways, we're gonna start with some music here, from a band called Disaster Pony. Here's a track called Robot Pain here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Now. We'll be right back. Welcome back. That last track was by Disaster Pony. The song was titled Slide Jeans here on CGSF 90.1 FM. Let me fix my microphone first. Man, I feel super exhausted. I like kind of just like came here after an exam. It's kind of crunch week now. And so I'm definitely feeling the consequences of my early term actions. I was too hard, early term. Speaking of gaming, kind of a huge dub for Canadian Valorant players. There's a big year for this for all guys who I know really love hearing me talk about esports every like week in, week out, but big Valorant tournament. There's like I would say like the face of the game is this kid Tenz, who's from Nanaimo, BC, which is like super dope. You know, I feel like he's kind of been like the most popular kind of, you know, personality in the scene. And so his kind of big rise to fame was that he came into a team that qualified for a major, and one of their players had to step down because of some like sexual misconduct stuff, which, ooh, we hate Sinatra. And so he stepped up to the plate to take his place because obviously the team had found, or the team had like earned a spot at the very, very first major tournament for this game. And I mean, out of just pure, pure skill, and I'm sure the team, you know, built around him, but he kind of like slaughtered the whole tournament. This was like in 2021, maybe. He kind of, I remember the ethos for that team, like their kind of playstyle was like Tenz go kill, and he was just like fragging on the server. And then so ever since then, ever since they won that first ever major, there's kind of like never been success for the Sentinels team. Like for 3 or 2 years now, I guess, they've been kind of like, they're pretty dog, not gonna lie to you. I mean, everyone's like, obviously everyone believes in Sentinels as a team because I think of that first Masters, that first impression of like what this team could do. But you know, they never lived up to it until now. I mean, they went from literally never winning anything for the last 3 years to like winning a major on their first run with this new roster. And so, you know, Tenz, this kid from Nanaimo, is in the forefront of the spotlight, and it was such a like redemption story, and like people are calling him like the greatest of all time. He's literally the LeBron now. So that was kind of fun watch. Spent the whole weekend on my couch like watching these like long sets, like watching them play. Oh, I hope they make. Yeah, it was like a very close game, and so humongous W for Canadian gamers, especially Nanaimo game. But another thing I want to talk about is last week, two weeks ago when I left off here, I was like coming from radio, going straight to the movie theater to go see Dune 2. I complained a little bit about, I mean, I'm sure you guys all heard me complain about, like, you know, maybe some of the white savior narratives in Dune and how his name is Paul, which is, like, sucks. But, you know, the return for Dune 2, and I was pretty excited to watch it. It was kind of, like, the first time in a long time that I've, like, shown up to, like, a Cineplex theater and, like, been there for, like, a big major motion picture release, you know. I was kind of stoked on it, you know. And I think it, for the most part, is a good movie. But the one thing that we do correctly was, for whatever reason, my roommate Patrick was really stoked on watching Dune 2 in 4D. I think just the novelty, he read somewhere on Reddit that there's a say where Paul Atreides rides a worm, and he said it was like, on Reddit someone was like, oh, this is like nothing you've ever seen. This is the new way to experience cinema, you know? Something on those lines. I don't know. I'm exaggerating a little bit. Up to this movie in 4D, thinking, you know, I remember actually Ava was telling me about how like, oh yeah, we should be careful or popcorn's gonna be too full. It's the way it's gonna be like a roller coaster ride. I was kind of wrong. As far as the 4D, here, let me give you the review of my 4D viewing experience. As far as like seats go, there's like far fewer seats in the theater because, I mean, all the seats like individually move, and so because of that, like, it was like hella leg room. So we were like, you know, we were getting there, you know, it was, like, nice seats, you know, and we were kind of, like, living like kings. But, like, then the first scene comes up, and we realize that, like, maybe this is kind of, like, stupid. Like, the first scene, the opening scene of the movie is them, like, you know, they're hiding from, I can't even remember the name of the characters anymore, but they're hiding from the opposition, you know, they're the bad guys, you know, and they're tossing around and stuff, and they're like, you know, they're tucking in the sand and stuff. And for whatever reason, I think maybe, you know, obviously the movie wasn't meant to be viewed in 4D. I think that, like, there's no way. And, like, the seats are, like, moving with the camera, and it was like, okay, this is kind of stupid. Like, you know, these are just kind of, like, you know, they're just doing, like, panning shots and, like, you know, just kind of very basic establishing shots, and the camera's, like, moving slightly, and so you really feel like the camera's moving, and it's like, okay, well, you know, okay, I get it, you know, but this is kind of stupid. And then the first fight scene happens, and her seats are, like, jerking everywhere, and it's, like, so disorienting, you know, and it's, like, so... I think I, like, immediately looked over to my roommate and was like, dude, this is stupid. Like, this whole movie is just, like, I think they went a little crazy on these, like... I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I think it might just be, like, some dude in the projectionist room, like, watching the movie going, like, oh, yeah, move the seat this way, move this way. Because there's no way it's, like... There's no way that the people who have, you know, spent all this money making Dune were, like... programming adequate 4D viewing experiences with the film, you know? And so it was kind of just really stupid to, like, see fight scenes and be jerking around, and it's like, I kind of honestly would have rather it have just, like, moved in 2D, you know, and just, like, regular whatever standard quality. And I think I was maybe hoping the 4D experience would be akin to, like, I mean, I feel like I have this, like, beacon of, like, what a good 4D experience is. Maybe a little bit through rose-tinted glasses, because the last time I saw, like, a 4D experience was, like, at, like, Legoland, watching, like, the Clutch Powers ride, which I thought was, like, so fun. Or, like, even at Universal Studios, they have, like, a 4D, like, SpongeBob experience, where he's, like, you know, you're going through, like, you know, it's obviously meant to be kind of more of a ride, if anything, you know, you're going through and, you know, they're spraying, like, pickle juice in the air, and it smells like, you know, the Krabby Patty pickles, you know, and it's, like... And so there's, like, not any of that, you know? Like, some of the most embarrassing parts of the 4D Dune 2 viewing experience where there's just a point where, like, they're establishing shot, like, over sand dunes, right? And I think it's, like, I honestly feel like the movie is sort of stimulating enough to me, like, wow, you know? But for whatever reason, Cineplex thought it'd be a really cool idea to, like, put these two, like... isolated smoke machines at the very front of the movie, and they kind of just, like, plume out this smoke, and it just kind of gets in the way of the screen, and it was just kind of really annoying and didn't really add anything. Plus, I think, if I recall correctly, the smoke machine on the left side of the screen was, like, a little bit underfilled, and so it just feels super, like, jarring, and it really, like, broke my immersion, I think, to feel like, okay, I'm, like, trying to, like, find my viewing angle over this, like, plume of smoke, and I'm just, like, waiting for it to go away. And not only that, like, one side's, like, heavier than the other, and it seems kind of stupid. And then, like, I was expecting it to be, like, you know, they have, like, scenes where people are shooting guns, you know, and to, like, show that, they just have, like, some big LED thing that's going to shine a light, like, periodically to, like, in sync with, like, them shooting guns and stuff. And it's just, like, very poorly, like, someone's just, like, occasionally, like, it just felt like I was getting, like, flashbanged every once in a while, you know? Like, it's so distracting, you know? Apart from the blunder of going to see Dune in 4D, it was a pretty good movie. I mean, it's kind of exactly what I expected. My roommate, like, really hated it. I think he's, like, a big fan of the book, and I think he was, like, I think the sentiment at the end, like, I mean, okay, this is a spoiler moment, but obviously they're looking to continue the Dune cinematic universe, and so obviously the end of this left at a bit of a cliffhanger. I think the main book is also kind of left at a bit of a cliffhanger, because there was, you know, I think the next book is, like, Dune Messiah or something or other. So, like, I mean, first and foremost, kind of, like, not a humongous fan of, like, Hollywood sequel movies. I mean, as a kid, I definitely watched, like, a lot of those, like, Marvel Avengers movies. I was definitely stoked on that. But after a while, like, after the second Avengers movie, I was just kind of over it, you know? And so, like, I don't know if I'm gonna go see the third installment of Dune, because, like, man, like, Hollywood, like, I'm over this. Like, I'm over these like sequel movies, you know, like I say that I'm probably going to end up going in the end, but it was just kind of boring, you know. It's just like, ugh, like I think visually it was very exciting, but it was very unsatisfying. Plus there's just like this really corny line that we're all making fun of, whatchamacallit. Okay, this is another big spoiler, but in the climactic scene of the end of the movie, Paul Atreides has like drank this like water of life, so to speak, and now he's seen all the realities. He's like really the Messiah now, you know. He's like, he's Lisan al Ghaib, you know, he knows, you know, and he's like revealing all this kind of little bit of exposition stuff, and he's like talking to some of the Fremen people, you know, like, your people have been like, you know, your people have been like discriminated against for years, you know, like this planet had like a Fremen name before, and it was just all big like avenue for the like title screen drop moment, you know, where he's just like, I know this planet like had another name before, it had a Fremen name, it was called Dune, and I was like, oh, this is so stupid, man. So I mean, I don't know, what did I expect, right? Like, I feel like, I mean, okay, I feel like this might be pitchfork moment to all these, like, Dune fans who are my listeners, but I don't know, it's kind of like, what did you expect, I think, too. It's like, it's a Hollywood movie, you know. I think, to some extent, you know, they're not trying to, like, necessarily push the needle in storytelling or cinema. Obviously, it's built off of source material, but I was kind of like, I feel like I haven't, like, watched, like, a major motion picture in a while, and some of it is very corny, and some of it is, like, very, like, ugh. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think visually it was a cool movie. I feel like I'm probably in the minority of people who, like, thought the movie was kind of, like, because, like, it seems like unanimously people have kind of agreed that this movie was, like, awesome, you know? But, I don't know. I walked away from that movie feeling like it was kind of, like, yeah, it was entertaining for, like, the 3 hours that I sat through it, and, you know, I mean, I haven't been to a movie theater in a while, and I forgot that they have those, like, swamp water machines where, like, you can, like, all have these, like, million variations of sodas, and I'm pretty stoked on that. And so, eating my candy, eating my popcorn, drinking my, like, vanilla, strawberry, you know, whatever, Coke, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. It was a good night. Not much to say about it, but, yeah. You guys should go see it and see it for yourself and make your own opinions, you know? I'm just some dude hate blogging on the internet kind of thing, you know? So, anyways, let's get into some more music here. From a group called Blush. Here's a song called A Snail House for a Big Dog here on CJSF 90.1 FM.